gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamer Tag Radio, episode 1247. This is your host, Danny Pena. And this week we have a special episode, which I recorded a couple weeks back at DICE. I spoke to the CEO of Atari. This is an exclusive, of course. And his name is Wade Rosen. And we talked about, 50 years of Atari, their plans of this year, and just different topics of stuff that's happening now in gaming. And it was a great conversation. It's over 30 minutes or so. And I'm very curious to hear your thoughts about this. Now, I know the past few weeks we haven't recorded a live show on our Twitch channel. And the reason is we've just been extremely busy. But every week we've been releasing new content, new podcast episodes for our audience. So the next live show is going to be this Sunday. I'm not going to be available there because I have to travel with my wife, but Pete and Paris are going to be there, and they're planning to have some content that they're going to record live for the podcast. So stay tuned for that. Also, I recorded an audio because I got invited to a I Love United event that took place here in Los Angeles. They were playing with Liverpool. I was there. By the way, they got destroyed 7-0. People thought I was like upset. Look, I was just there because shout out to Konami. They invited me to the event. Never been to one. So I just went there not only to support Konami, but also just check it out to see how it is. And it was a lot of fun. They gave us access to the event. We got to meet, people that worked there and everything. We got to check out eFootball 2023. Which is available. You can download and play for free. It was cool. Great event. Minus the whole rain and, the weather here in Los Angeles. But overall, it was great. I had a blast. But I did record it with the product manager that works in Konami. I'm going to post that sometime next week, the next week's episode of GTR. It's very short. We just talked about the event, about the game, the experience, and everything like that. So stay tuned for that. And we talked about this on Twitter. This is the only thing I can say about it, but we're planning to check out Redfall this week, and that's all we're going to say. All right, so we're going to go to the interview, but first head over to gamertagradio.com and listen to our past episodes. We have tons and tons of content. If this is your first time listening to the show, go back, listen to the archive. We have a lot of great stuff for you to listen to. Exclusive interviews, roundtable discussions, debates, everything. Just check it out. And if you like it, make sure to share this content with your friends, family, everybody. All right. Now, you also can find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is just go and search for Gamertag Radio. Easy. Search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Subscribe, follow us. And more importantly, if you can, post your review. The more engagement we get from our listeners, posting the review and sharing our content, it will help us to get discovered. So please do what you can to support GTR. Now, if you would like to be also part of our fam discussion, which we want questions from you, from the fans, send us questions and we'll answer it here only on Gamertag Radio. So this is how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we're going to go now with my interview with the CEO of Atari, Wade Rosen, and we'll be right back after this.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All
I'm Wade Rosen, CEO of Atari.
Hey, Wade, I know we worked before last year when I used to work at G4, and this is a time where you guys were really promoting Atari 50th anniversary. So this is the first time you're on the show on Gamer Tag Radio. So we're going to, you know, talk about a little bit about that and other things too, man. But welcome. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. First of many future ones.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. So, first of all, I have to start with this because I was also talking to your team about it. But last year, you guys released the 50th anniversary collection of all the games for Atari. Let me tell you, that to me is the best collection that I've ever seen on from any company. I just love, like, it was easy to navigate great games. There was games that I've never played before that it was, like, for me, the first time playing it. Love the documentary that was there, too. And just the facts of, like, seeing the cover, flyers, like, different the TV ads and newspaper ads in there. It was very interesting. So I just want to say that it was amazing working on that
Thank you, man.
So
yeah, I mean, that credit really goes to the Digital Eclipse team and then the production team at Atari. It was, you know, that was one of those projects where we knew we had to do something special, and it couldn't just be another release of games, and that had been done before, and those were great, but people wanted to understand it, see the history, and and that I think was the what made it really special is not just being able to play the games, but watch, see the history, and then immediately jump into those and Vector Sectors.
Yeah, dope, so. Are you gonna have like more of that type? Because I noticed while playing these games, there were stuff where you guys brought back those old school games, but made it more for like for now. So are we gonna see more of that in the future from Atari? Because you guys have a lot of IPs, cool IPs that I feel like you should definitely continue to show that to the next generation. You know,
yeah, gamers. It's a big part of what we're doing. In fact, AKR just released yesterday, mm-hmm. and that's also gotten really great traction, reviews. It's off to a great start. That's from Jeff Minter, who did Tempest 2000, Tempest 4000, as well as a ton of other great games. But those are, you know, we're kind of going back and we're really saying, okay, what is the ethos of Atari? What makes Atari special? And there's a couple things, but one of those critical things is a game that's easy to pick up and play, easy to learn, difficult to master. That was the old expression. And really keeping that and trying to, like, these don't have to be games that are 100-hour epics, but instead you can pick them up and you get into them and they just have sort of a hypnotic feel to them. Mm-hmm. And you're like, wow, I just spent 2 hours in that game and it feels... That was a really satisfying, immediately gratifying experience. We're still doing larger games. We're still doing games with characters and stories and large narrations. But those are really the two that we're pursuing, trying to flesh out the world of Atari and the ecosystem and the lore around it, and trying to stay close to our roots and just do really great games that are quite simple at their core.
You know, I remember a lot of people don't know this, but I was showing Wade the studio last year, just give him a little tour, and I showed him the wall that it had there in the studio of Pong, right? And there's a huge fan base. That game has so much history, of course. It completely changed gaming forever. Are we going to see something like that, like, in the future from you guys? Like, you know, I feel like Pong is like the perfect game, especially for those that don't play games. Like, I could compare that to like Tetris, you get what I'm saying? Mario Brothers. And Pong is a very important game, so I'm not saying to make any announcements, but do you see something like that in the future?
So specifically for Pong, I think it's interesting because Pong it's not a game that we do a lot with, mm-hmm. but it's almost more of a pop culture icon than it is an actual game at this point. So, mm-hmm. you know, outside of Atari, it's probably the most licensed intellectual property that we have. And, you know, you see it on T-shirts and hats and shoes and...
Even movies.
Even movies, you know, it's everywhere.
Sure.
Because everyone knows what Pong is. We've all played some variant of it. Mm-hmm. But actually, if you were to talk to people, even though they know it, most people, especially if they're under the age of 40, haven't played the original Pong. They played some variant of it. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a game that has transcended its video game roots and become a cultural phenomenon. That being said, like... I do think Pong's really interesting because it's such a blank slate. You could do something great with it, but you'd really, I mean, if you're going to do something with Pong, you really have to throw the kitchen sink at it. You can't kind of half approach it and go into it a little bit. You've really got to try and, you know, lean into either like crazy accurate physics and make it competitive, or like, you know, do a, something comedic or a deep story. I don't know what that would be, but it definitely, you know, it wakes me up in the middle of the night every once in a while. Like, oh, what would...
Like, I got an idea. I got an idea. This is how it works, you know?
A buddy cop comedy set in, you know, the ball and the paddle. They're the Pong buddy cops. And I'm like, all right, that was the first idea. That was terrible, but like, let's keep exploring.
Yeah.
But, you know, more holistically, you know, like, really, we're trying to just go back and both, like, make sure that everything is true to where it came from, but pushing the genre forward, because I mean video games have changed and evolved a lot. Mm-hmm. And we can't ignore that. So it's a delicate dance that we do, but everybody at Atari cares deeply, loves games, and loves these kinds of games.
You know, so. I noticed, because I've been of course following Atari for a very long time, I noticed the change when you became CEO. It feels very different in a good way. I'm glad that you guys are releasing, still releasing games, but I just noticed the change, man. So for those that don't know, behind the scenes, like, what is it that as soon you came and took over, how's it been, like, just the process of getting used to working, you know, as a CEO for the company and the stuff that you would like to see in the future too for the company?
Yeah. I mean, the term I always use is, like, I call it a 50-year startup, because it really, it's like you're building a company from the ground up, but it's this company with this amazing history and lineage, and but at the same time, you're still having to put all the infrastructure in place. Excuse me. You still have to put all the infrastructure in place, and, you know, people want to make sure that, you know, their paychecks arrive on time, and all the mundane things that you never think of when you think of Atari.
Sure.
They all need to be there. So, I think the most surprising thing, and people probably feel this, is like, I really appreciate you saying that, but oftentimes, you know, I think us on the team, we're like, well, let's move even faster, let's do more, but we're also trying to build a really solid foundation so that this is something that can grow and expand, and that it's not growing out past, you know, that we're not trying to do 100 things and take them all to half completion, that, you know, everything that we do is, you know, like Atari 50, where it's great. But that just requires focusing and being really careful on which projects we take on. But that being said, the team's growing, the company's growing. It's been a great experience. It reminds me of, you know, startup culture. Like, we, you know, we're all sitting there whiteboarding stuff, everyone's throwing out ideas, the team's small enough that really, like, anyone can impact the course and the future of the company, which is always really exciting, because it's going to come from anywhere, and every day you're hearing things that are going to get implemented, you know, 2 days later. You don't have the luxury we're careful about what we take on, but also once we decide to do it, you have to move quickly and get it out and really devote yourself to it. So there's also a lot of velocity. And how I describe a day in the life of Atari.
do you see more of a future adding, like, more games into, like, cloud gaming? Because that's, like, now the big thing for just gaming in general. Because I feel like you guys are good with mobile, with consoles, PC, right? But what about cloud gaming? Do you see Atari doing stuff like that? You know, because I know you guys were, I think, when Stadia,
before. We do quite a bit with cloud gaming. So we did a lot with Stadia. And, you know, before Stadia ended, we had a great relationship. And just to give a shout out to Google on that, even though that ended and we were really sad to see that shut down, they handled it in a really classy way. And so we were appreciative of that, and they fulfilled a lot of what they said they were going to. So they, you know, and you don't always see that. So I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Stadia.
Very important.
I think it was a nice team. They genuinely wanted to do really cool, interesting things.
Sure.
But we participate. You know, we're big in Antstream.
Antstream.
You know, we have other cloud. I'm not sure if we've announced some of the other ones that are going to be coming out, so I won't announce that here.
No announcements here.
Participate and are active in a lot of the cloud stream platforms. I think you know, the big challenge there is just, it's a challenge that's going to be solved, but, you know, the precision of the game, the, you know, the delay, like how do you carve it out and make it unique and special from Game Pass or PlayStation Plus or any of the other services. And those are all challenges they're working through. I think that's one of those that is, it's going to lag until one day it's just at fidelity, and then, you know, it'll probably become
ridiculous. I play a lot of cloud gaming, so I love it.
I play a lot. I'm kind of always trying and testing a lot of different things. I think the one that I see is a big move right now to subscription-based models, whether that's cloud or not cloud, you know? And then from there, where that goes in terms of how much of that eventually goes to cloud infrastructure, I think it will. Mm-hmm. I just don't know the timeline.
Yeah, I think I love seeing big titles on services like PlayStation Plus or Game Pass, because this is an audience that is easier for them just be there at the part of the service, and they just see it, click it, download it, and just try out the game, you know? So I hope you guys could do more of that too in the future to just get new crowd, you know, so.
Yeah, that's something that we definitely want to engage in.
Sure.
And I think, you know, that's still a wide open. I think the way that works, the amount of offerings that are out there are going to expand greatly in the next 24 months. And people are going to try a lot of interesting things. You know, I don't know if anyone's found the model yet, but I do think everyone's kind of stumbling towards answers there. I do, but at the same time, I also think that there's a place for purchasing individual games. Like there's, and I feel like, you know, Steam or the Switch Store or any of those platforms, they're going to have pretty long lives too, because, you know, the nice thing is it carries with you from PC to PC. Like I've got my same Switch games that I had there years ago. And it's not different with subscription services, but I think there's space for both. I don't know that one is going to necessarily spell the end for the other.
And you know what I still feel is still important is physical games, because even though I mentioned about the collection, the Atari 50 collection, right? I have it as the digital, and I'm like, man, I want to have like a physical version just to have it there, part of my collection. You know,
it's a really nice steelbook on that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. You know, so like, I feel like that's very, very important. And I just don't want companies to just, and I get it. It's easier, it's cheaper, do everything digital. But there's also an audience that just love to have stuff that they bought, you know, at the store or buy online. And yeah.
I think, you know, if digital existed first, and this is just a weird hypothetical, but if digital existed first and then physical came later, we would like marvel at this technology where you could like pick up the media and take it from console to console and store it in case something happened. And so there's all these advantages to it. Much like if, you know, you're reading news online and then all of a sudden a newspaper showed up, you'd be like, what? This non-movable ink? Like, what is this?
Yeah.
This is kind of amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm a big proponent. I mean, I do both. I have a lot of digital. I do still purchase a lot of physical, and I think there's a market for both. I think the market just has to adjust. And you know, when it was 100% physical, that was obviously not sustainable. Mm-hmm. But I think the idea that physical is just going to disappear one day is also binary and probably not the end state. So everyone's just trying to figure out what the best route to keep producing and creating physical is. And actually, it's been a big. You know, when I first came in, that's one of the things that has changed. When I first came in, it wasn't a huge part of our strategy. It now is a really big part of our strategy, and every title we release has a physical strategy behind it, and it usually is as critical as the digital piece. So for us, we're definitely not looking past it.
You know what I like? I like the cartridge collection that you guys have, the set. I believe it's like 10 of those, right?
Yeah,
like,
the anniversary collection.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, it reminds me of... This is the early days when I was a kid. You know, I had an Atari. My neighbor also had an Atari. But there was games that I have. He didn't. So we would always like switch. Like, okay, I'll lend you mine. Lend me yours. Lend me that game. So every time I got to see that set, it reminds me of that, of like us just lending games to each other, you know. That was a very iconic days for us, because that was like first time having a home console at the house and everything like that. So it's pretty cool to see that you guys
what,
are.
What was your favorite? What was the one you always went back to?
During that time? Oh, my God. Defenders. Defenders was like my first game for Atari. I remember playing Pac-Man. Also, Pitfall was a big one for me, too.
I remember playing River Raid as a kid. I think a friend had that. But the one I go back to now as an adult is Berserk.
Oh, Berserk. Okay.
I just think it's really good. Like, it's just like very pure, and you can plug it in and you're playing. And I think the games that I found that I like are ones that have, again, there's like no artifice to them. You're like hitting the power button, and then you're playing, and you're right in. And it's like simple, and it's fun, and it's beautiful, and it's great for 5 minutes in the middle of the day. That's I think that's kind of the piece that's been lost, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's all good. I like the conversation. No, I was going to ask you, all right, so you guys have been celebrating Atari 50. Now, well, what's next? What's next for Atari now? Because I feel like that was a very iconic Atari 50. There's no other companies besides, Nintendo that's been around for a very long time. But, like, it's good to see that you guys celebrate it, show the history. But now, future.
Right.
For Atari now.
Well, and just to go back to your carts thing, we're going to keep doing carts.
Yes.
Yeah, they're popular, you know, like they're kind of niche, but there's in that niche is like there's a community we want to keep supporting there. Those specifically for the 50th were beautiful, and they had LED tops and, you know, were screen printed, and they were like we really put a lot. So we'll probably continue to do those occasionally. But we're going to do a lot of new content actually on the 2600, and you know, some were games that were never officially released, others are entirely new games that we just think are great because people still develop for the console. So that's just an example of one of the things in the future. We want to these old consoles, they're living ecosystems. They're not dead in a traditional sense. We all thought they were dead, but I mean, how many great Game Boy Advance games have come out over the last year?
Yeah,
they're beautiful. It's shocking how good these Game Boy Advance games look these days. You know, Dreamcast, same thing. Like, I think, you know, there's communities, and we really want to support communities that are and make it easier to develop content for the 2600, even for the 7800. Who knows? Maybe even the Jaguar someday. The infamously difficult to program for Jaguar, maybe. I can't promise on that one. But you know, I think the biggest thing in gaming that we want to try and move forward is people always talk about nostalgia and retro, and it is those things. But I don't think that's the appeal. I think the appeal is simplicity. Like, we have an infinitely complex life, and it's just like it seems to get more and more complex. And I don't know that what people are asking for all the time. I mean, yes, sometimes we all do want to play Elden Ring because it's amazing, and it's like beyond.
Very difficult
game too. Exactly what it's exactly what I wanted when I was a kid, right? I want a game that I can play for 100 hours where I can interact with the NPCs, and there's like 200 some bosses. But you know, at the same time, there's also a lot of nights where I'm like, that's just not going to be what I can do. I want to pick something up and just start playing. And so I think there's a place in gaming for a company that's just trying to deliver really great content that is, like, sometimes is narrative driven and character driven, and is building out a world kind of like a universe for that everything interacts. And at other times it's just very simple. So for us, whatever we do, we try and be the best at what we do. And for gaming, that's probably focusing on that niche, providing those kinds of content, on hardware, really focusing on retro. And then on the pop culture side and licensing side, we actually, you know, we get to do a lot. We, you know, we're kind of like an Atari shirt's a little bit like a Nirvana shirt. You know, you see a lot of 15-year-olds wearing it. And
let me tell you, when I rocked my Atari 50, people were like, oh, man, that's a cool shirt. Where you got that from? So, but even people that don't know anything about games, they know.
I think there's a lot of potential on the pop culture side of things. We spend a lot of time on that. And finding a way then to tie it all together so that whatever you do in games or whatever you're doing in hardware or on any of the media components that we have, it's all part of one larger cohesive Atari. That's one of those things we want to introduce and start to put in place this year. That'll be a, you know, multi-year project.
Sure.
But we want it to feel like one Atari. You're not interacting with all these random pieces of Atari, but whether you're seeing us in a TV show, or whether you're picking up new hardware that we put out, or you're playing a game that we have coming out, like it all feels a part of the same company with the same feel and in the same ecosystem.
Yeah, what is now that you've been working and doing this now,
yeah,
new position, CEO and everything, right? what has been like the most challenging part of your job for you?
For me, right?
For you, yeah, right now. Or when you started, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
I always see you in a good mood, happy. I'm like, oh man, wait, is
well, I get to hang out with you and talk games. This is my favorite part of the job,
exactly, right?
You didn't see me at 7 a.m. this morning working on the budget. Like, that's a bit of a different way. That one's pretty easy for me. I'd started quite several companies in the past, and it's a lot. It's a lot to go from like 0 to 60 or something. Like, it's just, you're kind of wheeling into existence. I'd never stepped into a company that had like the infrastructure of a startup, which was very little, but also the baggage of the opportunity but there's a lot of opportunity, but there's a lot of baggage. And I think the hardest thing about the job and the biggest surprise is just how much there has been to work through and to kind of move through and just all the things that came with it. Because with all the great opportunity and all the love for the brand, there's a lot of strong feelings that are not necessarily positive, and trying to convince people that we're going to be around for a while and that we care and that we want to do this. Like, that has been the biggest surprise. Like, all the things that came with the company and moving through those. And so that took a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And I think the first year, when a lot of people were wondering, like, well, what are you guys going to do? What's happening? You know, it's like, well, if you're not making games, you don't get to decide overnight, hey, I want to make games, and then next month you have a game out. It takes months and years. And so now we have full slates of games coming out. But those are things we greenlit 2 years ago. I mean, Atari 50 took a really long time to make. But for a long time, it kind of looked like we weren't doing anything because we were getting all of those things started up and working through a lot of the things that were still there.
You know what I feel like is very important for people to know? Because you're a huge gamer. You know about games. And there's people that, in other companies, that they're higher-ups, they don't play games at all. They're just business, and that's it. So I'm glad that Atari has someone like you.
Thanks,
because you understand the culture. You understand games. You're a fan of games. I was even talking someone from your team, and like, I don't even know how he has even the time, because it's like busy playing all these games, you know. So, and even the conversation you were having with my previous team at G4, you were talking about like all these games that you've been trying out and experimenting, and
and
it's cool to see that. It's really, really cool to see that.
That's the best part of the job, like getting to sit here to talk about games, getting to play games. I mean, we get to be on the forefront of it, and how great is that? And if, you know, I always told myself, if I took the job, I didn't want to move away from that, because that's why I wanted to be here. The love of it is why I wanted to be in here.
Yeah.
So if all of a sudden I was no longer able to like engage with that and play titles, it seemed kind of sad. I don't know, you know. And so I really try and carve out and make time. The one thing I will say is I also like, you know, play. I'm not a completionist, which helps, right? I don't have to get to 100%. I kind of have my own internal metric of like, I think I've seen enough of this game.
Play and then casually.
I
can
move. Yeah.
Casually.
I play. I don't have a ton of time, so I have to rip through them a little bit. But I know there's like that moment in me when the switch goes off and I'm like, ah, okay. I took this game as far as I need to. And sometimes that's 100 hours and sometimes that's 2 hours. But it's usually enough to feel like I took away what the game wanted to show me and to help, like, and to give me ideas on what we could do going forward. But games have been a huge part of my life.
That's cool.
Man, they were, when I was growing up, they got me through like a lot of tough times, and I'll always be grateful for that.
Yeah. And I'm usually always looking around like to see what people have been saying about like some of the games you guys released, especially the collection, right?
Yeah.
Man, it was so many positive feedback about the game.
Yeah.
So many people were happy about this, from like young and old. How was that from you guys just watching just reviews and just social media, people talking about the collection, you know, because you guys have been working on it for a while too.
Yeah, great. Yeah, you know, yeah. One word, right? It was amazing.
Sure.
And you know, again, Digital Eclipse, like really, really just made something beautiful there. But that, you know, that was also, our team was, you know, had a lot, they cared deeply about that and they put a lot of time and energy into that. And so that was just a team effort on both sides. Mm-hmm. We all thought it was really special. It's, you know, I think one of the things I didn't realize about this job is, you know, you make something and you're kind of working on it and you have people trying it and they're telling you it's good, but you don't know until it goes out. Like, how are people going to respond to this?
Yeah, and you're in inside that bubble.
Oh, man. Yeah. I kept telling people different. When I'm like, guys, I think that we made the best game collection ever. I don't think, and everyone's like, yeah.
Nah, see, I said it from the beginning. I'm like, this is life changing right here. Like,
you know, it was what I wanted. Like, it's what I, you know, I wanted to like feel these things and play. And I think, the reality is probably going to set a template that, you know, now mm-hmm. a lot of collections will go back and look at in terms of interactivity and just documentation and archiving. But it was what I really wanted to play. And so I thought it was great and I was so excited about it. And then for it to come out and get, you know, the reviews it did, to get the nominations it did, to, you know, just really across the board, perform the way we'd really hoped it would. It's awesome.
And you know what? Yeah. I was gonna ask you, like, how you guys have so much games, like so many IPs.
Yeah.
How do you guys pick like the right? Okay, this is the game I think we should work on. Like, is that because there's so many great iconic games that you guys have? You know, so the best part behind the scenes, like a lot of debates, like back going back and forth and everything. Or is it more because of the community, the fans, like we want this.
That's super interesting. And then like a lot of it's internal, but we absolutely listen to what the fans say.
Good.
You know, when you're posting in message boards and things like that, mm-hmm. you know, in the when it's done respectfully and you know, sure. and things like that. But and it almost always is when it comes to like people talking about the games that they want to see. And we really listen to that. And we try, especially on the Recharge line, which is, you know, another
Fantastic
personal
game.
Favorite of mine, because it's, yeah. That's just like pure, that when I was talking about like easy to learn, difficult to master, that is that at its core, and it's very pure and true to that. We listen very closely to what's coming up, but then for the ones that we're remaking or expanding and expanding the world, there's a little bit of method to that, because I think what people will see in the coming years is that these games start to link together. You know, what happens in a new narrative-based game, you'll see things that might relate to another Atari game, and that game will probably pull back around to another Atari game, and I think that's one of the things we really want to expand on. And so there's a little bit of flow to that,
sure.
and just consideration in like, well, which one of these work well together, and which one of them are really vibrant and ready for a revival. Oh, and then also, you know, when great studios pitch us ideas. That's a big. Sometimes we just get a pitch and it's like, well, we didn't really want to work on this specific title, but this pitch is amazing and we love the studio and that's what they're passionate about. Why would we try and force them to do something else? So that's a big part of it. We really like to, when we're working with people, we want them to pick the IP that they want to work with, because you just get, inspired games that way.
Yeah. You know, and if I ever see Nolan, I'm going to ask him the same question
Please.
Too.
Yeah.
But like, okay. 50 to 100 years from now, you know, the next generation of gamers goes online and search for about Atari. You know, what is it that people want? What is it that you want people to know about you and about the brand 50 to 100 years from now, man? Like you know?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of the brand, I would love for the brand to still be relevant. I mean, who knows what games are going to be?
Sure.
And I think, you know, an earlier question was, you know, the kind of the places we can play. I think we can, you know, we really try to carve out and be the best that we can in any of these individual things. And we're not going to compete with Nintendo and Sony and Xbox. But, you know, VR is still kind of an open field. So we want to get, you know, we're going to spend more time and energy there. You know, I think there's a tremendous amount of potential with AI, and you know, everyone's talking about it, everyone knows that it's going to have an effect on games, but nobody knows how yet.
How, yeah.
And I mean, that is an open field, right? So what I really hope people look back on with Atari is that, you know, it's a company that did have a revival, that it was a Phoenix story, and that in addition to doing a lot of things that people loved in the past and that it started to do those well again, that it found something where there's a little bit of green field and a new industry, and it became a pioneer in one of those industries. And then that was a big part of its revival story. Because it's not going to be competing with, you know, PlayStation. I mean, there's a Switch is incredible. It's a near it's a near perfect piece of engineering. And, and a PS5, a Series X, like, I mean, these things are beautiful consoles. Like, we're not going to compete with that. That's not what we want to do. But in all these other innovative places, I think that's where we can make strides and really, you know, add to the industry and be meaningful. And in terms of, you know, my own contribution, I hope people look back on it fondly and just see somebody who really cared deeply about video games and wanted to advance the medium.
Good, good. Hey, wait, I look, we could be here for hours because I just love our conversations. It's very casual, you know.
First of many, right?
Yeah, first of many.
Maybe we'll invite Nolan around next time.
Yeah, hey, let me tell you, I would love to do that one day. Just us, just
we'll get
chit chat and just talk.
Oh, Nolan's amazing.
Yeah. All right, wait, but thanks a lot, man, for the chat, and hopefully we can see you again in the future.
Yeah. See you soon.
All right, thanks, man.
Cheers.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, that was an interview with Wade. Shout out to him and the whole Atari team. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to sit down. I'm planning to have like more great discussions, exclusive interviews in the future. I can't say who it is just yet, but it's going to be great. I think you guys are going to love it. So stay tuned. Stay tuned only here on Gamertag Radio. All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up here. Until next time, thank you for listening to GTR. Please send me your questions, your comments. Hit me up on Twitter. Follow me at Godfrey. I'm there. And until next time, I'm out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.